Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we, we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth. His truth endureth to all generations, all generations.
Go ahead and do your other song now.
Okay, we're going to sing one more song for you, and it's All-Consuming Fire. All-consuming fire,
all-consuming fire,
you are my heart's desire,
you are my heart's desire,
and I love you truly, truly, Lord. You're my meditation,
you're my meditation,
and my consolation,
and my consolation,
and I love you truly, truly, Lord. Glory to the Lamb, I exalt the great I am, reigning on your glorious throne. You are my eternal home. All-consuming fire,
all-consuming fire,
you're my heart's desire,
you're my heart's desire,
and I love you truly, truly, Lord. You're my meditation,
you're my meditation,
and my consolation,
and my consolation,
and I love you truly, truly, Lord. Glory to the Lamb, I exalt the great I am, reigning on your glory. You are my eternal home. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. There's something wrong with you.
All right, we're going to sing one more song, and we welcome you to Living Waters Community Church at Casa Grande. We're worshiping the Lord. That song was a song that they just sang, was a song that my husband used to be sitting at the piano or the keyboard, and he'd play it quite a bit in his worship. Joshua would bring his friend in. He'd say, come on in here, come on in here. You got to hear this. And he wasn't ashamed. He'd bring them in. So he said, I want to sing that song today in memory of my dad. And I appreciate the song. And I know that some of you, perhaps, who are watching, remember that song that my husband sang. We're going to sing. Join us as we sing another worship song before we go into the Word.
For I was born to be thy dwelling. So let my life
is interesting that everything that has been said today is right in harmony with what the Lord laid on my heart, the message to bring today. And it happens that way so often. But I have titled my message today, Antidote for the Sin Nature. Antidote for the Sin Nature. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you that you have given us your word. I thank you that it is a guide for us and that it is an antidote for the things that come against us in this life. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing right now. I pray that you will touch our hearts. Let us receive your word. Let us understand and speak to us. Anoint us. Anoint my lips, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Perhaps you, in hearing the title, and you probably know what that antidote is. Pastor Tony this morning said, I would like to sing that song about the word of God, how that it is a guide for us. I can't even remember the words to it right now. But anyway, and that is exactly what I'm going to talk about today. You know, an antidote is a substance that counteracts a form of poisoning. We've got a lot of poisoning in our world today. A lot of poison that is infiltrating our system, our children, our lives, and us. Poison. But it cannot be just as if somebody is struck by a poisonous snake, if they have been, that poison is going through their system, they must receive an antidote in order to live. Most of the time, many of the times, that's the way it is. I remember our neighbor when Ramona was a little girl, there was a neighbor lady that she said, oh my 2-year-old took I don't know how many aspirin, baby aspirin. She ate them and I don't see any ill effects. It looks like she's okay, but I'm a little concerned. And I said, well, yes, I would be concerned. You probably need to take her in. She said, well, she acts like she's okay. She's playing. She seems to be okay. Sometimes we set aside, there are no symptoms to the poison that comes against us. And we say, I'm okay. I don't see anything wrong with what's going on in my life. And we are comfortable with it. But that doesn't mean that the poison has not taken a grip and has taken hold of our lives. And that was the case with this little girl. She fell asleep, but she did not wake up. And I thought it was so sad. Had they taken her immediately and given her the medication, the antidote that she needed to reject that poison, she might have lived, most likely would have lived. And so often we're poisoned by this nature to sin. We have received that poisonous nature because of Adam's sin. And unless we receive the antidote, we'll die in our sins. Although the symptoms may not be immediately seen, we still have that tendency for sin. Every person who is born in this world is born with a nature to sin. You can see a little child, even a baby, very young, and they want their own way, and they are adamant. They reject. They don't want. It's all about self. It's that sin nature. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 12, Paul wrote. He said, "Sin came into the world through one man. That man was Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men." I know that there are some people that say, well, a baby is born and it has no sin. Perhaps it has no sin, but it has that nature to sin. And it will defy and say, I want my own way. In Psalm, the 51st chapter, David wrote, he said, surely, in the 5th verse, he said, surely I was sinful at birth. I was born in sin, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. I was born in sin. You and I are born in sin. And there, as in Romans, the third chapter, Paul wrote, he said, as it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one has understanding. They do not understand the ways of God. No one seeks for God. In our natural state, we do not seek after God. We seek our own way, our willful way. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And that is true. You say, well, that sounds so harsh. But it is a true statement. Every person has the nature to sin, and there is no righteousness in us. In Psalm, the 53rd chapter, we read there the verses 1 through 3, says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. I talked to a girl the other day. She said, well, my mother claimed to be a Christian, and my dad he claimed he had a religious affiliation, and they did whatever they wanted to do. And, I didn't see anything good in them, so I choose to believe nothing. Well, isn't that smart? Just the way that people think today. You know, I'm not going to make the mistake of trying to follow God because this person tripped and they didn't do it the right way, or they did not listen and they didn't follow God. That doesn't mean that we're supposed to lay aside that desire and that calling that God has for us. We sang the song, I was born to be your dwelling place. God created you to be his dwelling place. He wants to live in each of us. But we have to make that choice. The fool has said, there is no God. I'm not going to submit myself. If I believe there isn't, it's like an ostrich sticking his head in the sand, they tell me, and saying, well, if I don't see it, then it doesn't exist. You can say there is no God, but God says that is a fool. God says they are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. Not on their own, they do not do good. God looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Everyone has turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. We see people that are philanthropists that say, well, I give to this cause and to that cause, and I just do all kinds of good things. But good things will not get you into heaven. Good things will not get you into God's grace. It doesn't mean that you, just because you're doing good, why are you doing the good? Is it so that you look good? I don't know. But anyway, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We do not measure up to God's holiness and his glory. We have a nature to sin. How often we hear parents say, I don't understand my child. I've warned him or her again and again to avoid the choices that will lead to destruction. I have told them, I keep telling them, don't make that choice. And they just don't listen. I've given my time. I've tried to be a good parent. I hear this so many times. I've heard it throughout my life. I have done the things that I felt like I needed to do. I've attended church regularly, but somehow it seems I have failed. You know what? I'm not the solution and I'm not the answer to the sin problem. But we have an answer, and it is found in the Word of God. The Word of God is the antidote for the sin nature. You say, well, the blood of Jesus is what cleanses us, yes. But if you don't see the Word of God, and if you don't read the Word of God, you know nothing about that. You must have the Word of God. All our good intentions and efforts are not the antidote for the sin nature, any more than our talking to and consoling a person who's been bitten by a poisonous snake. We may just, like the woman said, I think she's going to be okay, and we can caress the brow and say, let me put cool water on you, whatever. And it does not heal the wound or the poison removed. There's absolutely one antidote, only one, for the sin nature, and it is the Word of God. The Word of God. I remember as a child, maybe you won't believe it, but I certainly had a sin nature. a desire to be like the world and a desire to reject the instruction of my parents. It was my desire to have my own way. I was very strong-willed. My father thought he could break my will if he applied the rod, and I got whippings, but I was beaten until I was unconscious, and I would not surrender my will. I said, no, I want my own way. That's the way it is, the nature of sin. I'm not bragging about that. I'm ashamed. I was so little, I don't remember it. But my brother became a close ally of mine because he said, I swore I'd never let anybody beat you up like that again. And I think it was not wise. But my father thought he was going to beat, if you want to call it, the hell out of me. But we can't do it. We can try. There are some parents that try, but you can't do it. It is only the Word of God put inside that person that can counteract the poison of sin. My parents understood that telling me to avoid sin was not enough. They came to understand that. They understood it in the beginning, but they understood that attending church faithfully was not enough. Some people think, oh, I take my kids to church, and we don't have very many people that do that even anymore. I take my kids to church, and that's all I need to do. You have a responsibility beyond that because church is not enough. My parents recognized that it was their responsibility to give me the Word of God. It is our responsibility to take it into our own lives and to give it to our children and to those for whom we are responsible. And so they forced me. You say, oh, you can't force it. Well, they forced me to hear the Word of God every morning and every night. We had family devotions. And I'm telling you, I was forced. I did not always enjoy setting everything else aside, even if I had homework that had not been done. I had to put it aside when it was family devotion time. And we sat and we read the Word of God. We read a chapter in the Bible. We'd take turns. I learned to read reading the Bible. If I made a mistake, my brother got to take over, and believe me, I did most of the reading because I didn't want Lewis, my brother Lewis, to read. And Edith never got a chance to read. But anyway, we didn't give her a chance to do much of anything. Even though I didn't enjoy that time, that family devotion, and my mind wandered many times and did not focus on the Word at all. But somehow it took root in my spirit. Because we read in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12, it says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. My parents made a lot of mistakes. In discipline, they were extreme, I think. But they made one decision that salvaged their children. And that was they force-fed them the Word of God. Now, we remember that in Proverbs it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's growing older, he'll not depart from it. And some of us say, well, I'm training my children. Do you know that word in the original Greek or the Hebrew, it means force feed, touch the uvula of the throat and push it down. You are forced to swallow. Now, sometimes parents say, well, I can't force my kids to. Who says you can't? It's true, once they're teenagers and once they're grown and they make their own choices, then it's too late to force them. We can pray for them. But when they are little, when they're 2 years old, rather than, I know that I'm not berating the Disney movies, some of them I wouldn't give you 2 cents for, and some of them perhaps, you know, Snow White, some of them are they like, but We play those movies to our little two-year-olds, you know, let it go, let it go. What is that? Frozen. Anyway, And we play that to them over and over, and it is embedded. And believe me, I have a 2-year-old great-granddaughter that can sing every word of it. But you know something? We could play the Word of God. We could continually teach the Word of God to them when they're 2 years old. We can force feed them, and we can change the course of their lives. In John, the first chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. The Word was Jesus. But Jesus is called the Logos, or the Word of God, because he embodies the total message of God to man. What is the message that God is speaking to man? Jesus displays that. He embodies it. He was the Word that was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him. In Colossians, the first chapter, verse 19, says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." No wonder that Proverbs tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. No wonder he tells us you can decide the course of that child by feeding it. Now, I'm not saying they won't go astray. They may go astray, but the Proverbs tells us that they will come back. They will remember those words. And the words that I learned when I sat there not wanting to sit around that family altar comes through when I think of a problem or I think of a situation, that it comes right back. Oh, I remember. I don't know where that was found, but I remember the Bible says this. It is the foundation on which we must build our lives. It is the antidote for the sin nature. We read in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. There we read, and so many wonderful scriptures in the Word of God. It's hard for me whenever I prepare this. I think, well, there's so much that speaks of this. You have to narrow it down. Oh, I don't want to put this one out. I don't want to take this one out. But the Word is filled with nuggets of wisdom and of gold. And it says there in the 119th verses 9 through 11, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" There's a remedy. It says, "By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." What is the remedy to keep us from sin? It is the Word of God, applying it to our lives. And then Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16, he says, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." I remember when I was a young lady, I was got my first car, and I was driving to work. I'd turn the radio on, and there would be music that wasn't necessarily bad music, but some of the country music's a little bit, you know, and I was a country girl. But I made up my mind. I said, you know what? What goes into my life, it develops who I am. If I watch garbage and filth, that's what I become. If I listen to who done me wrong, that's what my mind is on. And I determined that I would listen to the Word of God and let it become a foundation. Now, I was rebellious when I was little, but by the time I was 12 years old, I had set my mind on serving the Lord, and I had set my heart to God's Word. I received that antidote early in life. How many times I have said, the gift you can give to your children, your grandchildren, or those whom you can influence, is that shield of faith, the faith in the Word of God, and the sword of the Spirit. Give it to them. Not only should we feed the Word of God to our children, but we must feed ourselves with the Word of God in order to live a victorious life. If we dwell on other things. We think about other things. My son called me this morning, one of them, and he said, boy, I'm on this vacation with these people. And he said, that woman can't say a word that is vile. Everything she says is vile, this other family who had gone with them. And he said, I like some of the things we do, but he said, my son, who's just a little kid, 6 years old, he said, you say a lot of bad words. Yes. It becomes a habit. When we allow it, when we hear it, then it just takes precedence. It becomes part of our life. In Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 21, and unless the Lord changes my spirit and my mind, I'm going to bring a little more about this next week. But it says there, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. We can be overcomers. We don't have to surrender to the fear that's in the world today. I'm not saying that we are foolish and ignoring all health remedies and codes of conduct to keep us safe. But we can be an overcomer over sin and over the things that would drag us down. Do you know there are some people today that have given up on God? I heard some people say, it hasn't worked this way. Let's try the other way. Well, it works. You're the one who hasn't worked. But he says, the one who overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me on my throne. I'd like to sit beside Jesus. I think about, I had a little boy that, I had 6 children. Ramona was 7 years. She was an only child. No wonder she's so spoiled, huh? And I thought that she would probably be our only child. But then I prayed and asked the Lord. The doctor said, there won't be any more. That's it. You can't have any more. I believed them, but I prayed and asked the Lord for a son. So 7 years later, I got the son that I had prayed for. But then I said, thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. And I didn't think about it anymore. I didn't pray anymore. And then boom, boom, boom. It seemed like in spite of everything, we got 6 children. Well, my husband, the Lord had a work to do in his life. He tells me, he said, I know why we had 6 children. He said, God had something that he needed to teach me. He didn't want to be a father, but God made him learn to be a father. But I had these 6 children, and my husband was pastoring. He'd get up to preach. He didn't want children because, how can you preach? How can you do the things, that you're with 6 children? But anyway, and I would sit in the congregation, and I'd have the children beside me. I thought it was interesting when I'd go, we drove 2 separate vehicles in one particular church because he'd go real early and I'd come a little later with the kids, I got the kids ready to go and said, come on, get on the stick. And so he'd be there earlier. So when we got ready to leave and go home, the kids would go running to the van to get in the van. I drove the van. And so he said, let's just switch vehicles. So we switched vehicles and Dad got in and they all said, I'm getting in the other vehicle. They jumped out. They all wanted to be beside me. And I'm not saying that to against my husband. But you see, and we'd sit in church, and I had to hold Joshua because you know why. He just didn't seem to want to be still. I had to hold him and keep him right in my lap. And then I had one son on my side. Victor was on one side, and Lewis was even 16 years old, and he'd get on the other side, and if anybody tried to get there, he'd knock them out. He wanted to sit beside his mother. And and so I had Vincent, poor little Vincent. Who's he going to sit by? Well, he found some man in the church that he could sit by that favored him, and we had them sitting by an adult. It was their delight to sit by the person that they loved. And they loved their dad, but they liked to sit by mom. I don't know why. But anyway, so we will be, one of the rewards Jesus says, I'm going to let you sit beside me. Don't you want to be by his side? I want to sit there right by him. I want to be an overcomer. And we can be overcomers as we meditate on God's word. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, first beginning of the 13th verse, it says there, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. It goes on around us today. It will continue to go on. He said, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Don't waver from the word of God, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, how you remember and hold them sacred and dear to your heart. Don't waver from it. Don't sway. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. What I told you is, you might say, the remedy for sin is the blood of Jesus. Yes, but the Word of God teaches us here. It says, makes you wise for salvation so that you know that the blood of Jesus is available and how you can receive that atoning sacrifice. He says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching. We can teach our children. If you read the Word of God, you have a map for your life. You don't have to wonder, is this a sin or is that a sin? You have a map. The Word of God tells us. But if we don't read it, we won't know. He said it's profitable for teaching. It's good for reproof. You read it, it's a mirror. You look at it and understand, where have I strayed? For correction and for training in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We can't do good things on our own, but through the Word of God and through God's help, we can be overcomers. When we read the Word of God, we see God's plan for salvation, Jesus' redemptive sacrifice. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 18 and 19, Paul wrote, he says, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, Adam sinned and it led to condemnation for all mankind, he said, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. As by the one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Through Jesus, we receive that righteousness. In 1 Corinthians, he also goes on, the 15th chapter there, beginning with verse 21, for since death came through a man, Adam, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man, Jesus. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Some may believe that because Jesus died to take away our sins, that we're automatically saved from hell and eternal separation from God. I hear that quite often, but that isn't so. We are not automatically saved. We're not automatically exempt. We have to make a choice. There was a man that came to Jesus. We read in the 3rd chapter of John, beginning with verse 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, there was a man who came to Jesus and he said, Master, he said, you do all these good things. He said, what must I do to inherit, to receive eternal life? And Jesus said, he said, you must be born again. He didn't tell him. I'm just cutting just the highlights of the story. He said, you just like, and he told him the story. He said, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Remember, the poisonous snakes were biting the people and they were dying. And it was an example. It was a foretelling of what Jesus was going to do. He said, just like that happened, he said, the Son of Man must be lifted up. And whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And then he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should be saved, should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent him into the world to redeem the world. that we might have redemption. Sometimes we try to tell somebody about the work of God and Jesus, and they say, "Oh, you know, if I'd walk in that building, it would collapse." No, there's no way. You don't understand. But I'm going to tell you, he says, whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So just because Jesus died for your sins, he paid the price for you to have eternal life, does not mean that you are automatically saved, that there's nothing on your part. It doesn't work that way. I remember my husband went in and we talked to a man that was not a believer. Again and again, we talked to him, and he said, nah. And my husband would read the Word of God. He'd read the Scripture. Every day he went for about 2 or 3 weeks reading. And the guy finally came to the place. He said, "It's not for me. It's not for me." Well, you know something? He was not saved and he was not redeemed until he recognized that it was for him. Finally, the day came and he said, "Pastor, I believe it's for me." Until we say Jesus paid that penalty for me and I receive it as my atoning sacrifice, then we are not, we're not redeemed. We're condemned to death. We're condemned to hell. In Titus, the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6, he said, Paul's writing again, he said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." But if we don't read the Word of God, if we do not look into the Word of God, we don't know that he paid the penalty for our sins. So I say again to you, the antidote for the sin nature is the Word of God. The Word of God will show you, and it will repel, it will come against the poison of sin in our lives. Ephesians, the 1st chapter, verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." And then with the final verse, I want to say to you, you who are watching or here in the congregation, Romans, the 10th chapter, tells us, how is it in the Word of God? What is it I must do? He says there, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You see, they go together. He is Lord. He died on the cross, but he was resurrected. All of it brings our redemption. He said, if you do that, you will be saved. And then he says, it is with the heart you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Some of us are ashamed to even acknowledge and to confess that we are born again, that we know Jesus, that he has redeemed us. I don't want him to be ashamed of me whenever I stand before him. I want people to know that I have been redeemed. It isn't because of me. It's not because of my righteousness. It's because I have trusted in the Word of God. And I believe the Word of God is the antidote. If you have not received that antidote for the nature of sin, I encourage you today to get the Word of God and begin to read it. But first of all, I would like for you to pray this prayer with me as we pray together. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe that he was raised from the dead, then you will be saved. It's a very simple process. It's not difficult, but it's not by our works. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us in your Word the antidote to come against the sin nature in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you have told us if we confess with our mouths that you are Lord. And today we confess, Lord Jesus, that you are Lord. Be Lord of our lives. Take charge of us. Be the boss of our lives. I ask you, O Lord, we believe that you rose from the dead. You were resurrected unto life, and you have gone to the Father, and you've prepared a place for us. And so today we receive you, we have confessed, and we believe in our hearts, and we receive you today as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, we make that confession. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer and you believe it, you have confessed He is Lord, you can rejoice and begin to live in the Word of God. It gives you all the strength you need in the Word of God. You've been redeemed. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May you be blessed this week and the rest of your life. Okay, I don't know if there's anybody here today that you say, Naomi, I want to apply that antidote more to my life. I want that antidote of the Word of God to come in and bring the healing and take away the poison that sin brings. I'm telling you, our young people today lack knowledge of the Word of God. We cannot excuse sin, but if we look into the Word of God, and it tells us, as I said in Psalm, how can a young man know? How can he keep himself pure, or a young lady keep pure? We live in a world today where it seems to be the accepted thing. Everybody's living with somebody else, or sleeping, or whatever they're doing. I don't know. But the Word of God tells us it's sin. It will keep you from heaven. And so I challenge you today, make the Word of God your guide to live by. Take it and open it up and say, God, show me your Word that I can apply it to my life. And the Holy Spirit will help you apply it to your life. It is alive. It is real. It is true. Amen. Is there anyone today that you would like special prayer? We don't want to leave here without praying.
You know, I failed to pray for Jeff's wife.
Yes, I did pray when you were praying, Gail. We pray that the Lord will touch her in her spirit and touch her body. If there's anybody here who needs prayer, you just feel free to come forward. We did not mention to you, I think I did, that the offering, we didn't pass it if you needed to put your offering in, or they've already taken it, I guess. Anyway, I would ask you, Sister Maria, you can sit in that chair there. We're going to pray with Sister Maria. Is there anybody else that would like prayer today? I want you to, let's gather around her. And let's just pray with her today. My sister, what are we praying for? Your body? Okay. Okay. All right, all right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you have instructed us to call for the elders and to call upon those that pray to anoint with oil, and we're going according to your word today, O Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Most High God, we just anoint Sister Maria. I pray, O Lord, for the pain in her stomach, whatever the problem is, I pray that it will be removed, that it will subside. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. I give you praise, O God. You're a miracle-working God. You've worked miracles for us before, and we're believing you for a miracle right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Is there somebody?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 All right, is there, and we pray together. I pray, Lord, for Gail right now. Lord, we lift her up to you. I pray for her spirit as well as her body, O God. And I ask you to give strength to Jeff. Give them understanding, O God, of more of your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. Amen.
You know that word that you